The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
What's up, Cupcake?
Oh, I'm just over here clearing my throat.
Oh, yeah?
No, I saw somebody had a complaint about it. I am fine. I just got that GERD, you know. But I think I was drinking whiskey last few episodes. We need the cough button. We need, like, the radio cough button.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Little we need dump an button. In-studio fart button.
What's going on with you, man?
Real nothing this week.
Yeah,
I made some food. I made some food finally. I made food.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, what'd outside of my breakfast tacos, I'm making on the regular. But I made a little goulash in the old Instant Pot. Really, just turned out to be like lentil soup.
Uh huh.
But it was fine. You know,
pretty good. It's fine.
Again, it's like I make a thing, and I was like, well. If I would have gotten this at a restaurant, I wouldn't have ordered it again.
Uh-huh.
Not like it was bad. It was just like, yeah, here's stuff. Here's stuff you made, man. That's okay, and here's the mess you get to clean up afterwards. I'm like, yeah, this is why I just buy stuff.
What, and I know I may be asking the wrong person here, but what's the difference between an Instant Pot and a crock pot? Is this, in theory, the same thing?
Instant Pot, like, what used to take hours in a crock pot. Takes minutes in an Instant Pot.
Oh, duh. Hence the name.
Okay, it's like,
got it.
It's pressurized. Like, it's the shit you can make bombs out of.
Hmm.
Which is, I was laughing at my mom because she's like, I don't trust those things. I'm like, it's a kitchen appliance. It's all right, you know? And for the fact that, like, you're going to microwave everything in your life for however many years and stand next to it, but then this thing's a pressurized device. But it is a little. She's not wrong. It's a little bit intimidating when you realize you just have this pressurized canister on your counter filled with hot liquid.
You put water in it, obviously. Is that
there was what well, this one has just broth and vegetables and noodles and beans and lentils. Mm-hmm. But then it's got a little pressure button on the top, and I hit that, and it was like a locomotive whistle going off.
Wow.
Like, I got to move it away from the cabinets. It's like all the shooting steam into the cabinets and everything. It's a piece of machinery, Dave. I'll tell you that. It's a piece of machinery.
Yeah, I'm so stupid. I never made the connection with the fucking name, but I always just assumed it was a glorified crock pot, which I'm not a fan of.
It is.
Turns everything into mush. But yeah, I don't know anything about the Instant Pot, and the new trend that I'm still not aware, have no knowledge of, is the air fryer. Everybody's talking about the air fryers. I don't even know how that works. So I guess I got to look into that.
Yeah, my mom was kind of sniffing around at that being a Christmas present. Like, I don't want more appliances. I got a panini. Yeah. I got a panini press that gets maybe used once a year. Of some like ceremonial panini day around here, which they're good. Don't get me wrong. It's this whole heavy contraption that you got to pull out, and then you got to set up. And again, it's just so I can make a hot sandwich. I'll go buy a hot sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. Or you could just get you a sturdy metal spatula and a cast iron skillet and press the sandwich down that way.
Yeah, I mean, like the panini's nice that it's all pressed down and everything, but I am fine with knowing that other people do these things better than I can in the world. Mm-hmm. I'll do what I can that is perhaps better than other people to make a living, and then that money that I earn from that will go to pay the people elsewhere that do the things better than I can do for other services. Mm-hmm. I try, you know, I mean, it's sad with the fast food. I wish there was more localized fast food type stuff, but they're more regional.
Man, like we got that around here.
Mom and pop type of spots.
We've talked about that before, but I never paid them any attention until I moved to Long Beach. But lot of little mom and pop fast food, burger joints, burrito joints, stuff like that. So that's cool.
I've been fucking with a Potbellies.
Oh yeah, Potbelly sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have one around here, but I've had those on the road.
No, there's not. Yeah, not a lot in California. They got one over here. Man, even a veggie sandwich. There's so much shit in there. You're like, oh yeah, the meat would just be another guest at this party. Like it's not lacking. You know, you get like a veggie sandwich from somewhere else, and like, oh yeah, you just forgot to put meat in a sandwich, and you called it a veggie sandwich and a drag. Potbelly's like, no man, we'll let it. It's tasty.
Hmm.
Veggies and cheeses, yeah, like and sauces.
I dated a gal in high school who was a vegetarian, or at least she was for like a month or a summer, whatever. But she would always, we'd always go to Burger King and she would get a veggie Whopper. Now, this was pre Impossible Burger and all that. So it was literally just a Whopper minus the beef. So it was just a carb sandwich, just a bun with a bunch of lettuce, tomato, onions, pickles, and mayo, which, I mean, I don't know. That just seems I get the vegetarian, vegan lifestyle. I get the substitutes and stuff. But when you just omit the meat and then you're just left with a mushy bun full of pickles and onions, that doesn't sound like a very good meal to me.
It's not. It's not great. I will say that at In-N-Out, you can get grilled cheese. Instead of calling it a veggie burger, they just call it grilled cheese, and you get the tomatoes and onions and extra cheese in there in the buns. They call it, that's grilled cheese. Good. Yeah, hell yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, buddy, revisiting just old peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Ooh.
Oh, I love a good PB&J.
Little simple treat.
Toast it up.
Little simple treat.
Little toasted PB&J.
Oh, I didn't even
put a little honey in there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, man. Make your PB&J. Just you don't even have to. You can use a little butter if you want, but you don't necessarily need to. Just heat up a pan with nothing in it, and then throw your sandwich in there for like 30 seconds each side. Press it down. Get a little scald on it, a little toast on it. Oh boy, kind of melts that peanut butter a little bit. Makes it a little gooier. It's a good time.
Man,
love a good PB&J.
It's a little treat back to. To grade school. Did you whip up a bunch of stuff for? It's funny, we were holding off because you had noise stuff going on at your place, and now for once somebody's using a leaf blower.
Oh really?
Out in the hood over here.
I can't hear it.
That's all right. That's good. Did you watch the old Super Bowl yesterday?
Absolutely. Yeah, big fan. Didn't have a dog in the fight. I just always like watching it, regardless of who's there. But yeah, it was a lot of people say it wasn't a good game. It was entertaining, and that one team scored a lot of points. So that's all I ask. I know you're not a sports fan, but as long as it's not like a 9-6 or 7-0 or 6-3, you know, you want. I think the winning team, Tampa, scored like 31. I think it was 31-9, and man. I know it's falling on deaf ears, but I'm not a big Tom Brady fan. I mean, I've always been indifferent, but I don't know if you know his story. Like, he was with the Patriots for, like, roughly 20 years.
Yeah, and they were winning.
They had a dynasty. Yeah, they went to the Super Bowl, like, 9 times in his career with them. They won it 6 out of those 9. Just a dynasty. And as great as he was, a lot of that credit went to their head coach, Belichick. So everybody was like, oh, who's really responsible? Is Brady that good, or does he just have a great coach and a great supporting cast? Yeah. Anyways, with them his whole career, like 20 years, last year they basically were like, you're too old. We're not going to re-sign you. First year with a new team this year. Wins the Super Bowl without his coach and without his old team.
That's like, that's pretty just, good. He's, fuck you.
Yeah. 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 The first year, not like he went to a new team and then they, you know, 3 or 4 years later, they finally got there. No, no. First year with a new team. And this team was traditionally not very good. Like, it's not like he went to another amazing team. They were okay, but I can't tell you the last time they went to the Super Bowl. I think they went in the last 10 or 15 years. But first year, boom, won the Super Bowl.
I was at physical therapy, and somebody's like, you watching the Super Bowl? I'm like, I don't really watch. I'm like, who's playing? They're like, Kansas City and Tampa Bay. I'm like, I did not think I could give less of a fuck about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Kansas, who and what? All right. and didn't realize that Tom Brady, he's like 43 though. I saw that. Doesn't that give us hope that our athletic careers might pop off? Never too old. 43 out there winning Super Bowls.
Tom Brady and I were born on the same day.
Well, there you go. What do you got? You got a year up on him?
Yeah. No. Same day. Same birthday, same year. We're literally the exact same age.
When's your birthday again? When's Tom Brady's birthday again? Let me ask that.
August 3rd, 1977.
Okay.
So, yeah, literally the same age and, similar career paths.
I was going to say, you got that treadmill. You keep hitting that thing enough by 44. Once 44 clicks over.
Oh, man. I do think about that. Like, I just feel so, like, I feel fairly good, you know, physically. Charlie, what's up, bud? Hey, simmer down. He's all upset about something. Shut up. He's just looking at me. But no, I'm doing a lot better with the treadmill and the diet and stuff, but you know, I'm still a long way from where I want to be. But yeah, I think about that a lot, like how sore I am in the morning and, you know, your joke about the popcorn bag. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this motherfucker's literally the same age and he's out there just schooling people. Like, and that is unheard of too. Like, I doubt there's been a quarterback his age, definitely one that won the Super Bowl. I mean, every now and then you'll hear of a place kicker who's 46 or a baseball pitcher who's 45, but a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl being 43 is just unheard of.
Well,
usually quarterbacks usually retire around 36, 37.
I mean, the only reason I knew, like, half the time that Kansas City was even in it is because Dennis McCoy, a pro BMX rider, is from Kansas City and will post, like, all right, hey, Kansas City. And he's, like, I think 50 or over 50 and still just blasting airs out of concrete bowls. Granted, this dude always...
Damn.
This guy always dressed like a member of GWAR whenever he was riding competitions. So I think that says a lot that he's still out there doing, like, the guys that you always saw in full safety gear. Not to say they didn't get hurt, but they're still doing it. And the dudes that are just like out there wrecking their ankles and wrists repeatedly in their 20s and 30s do not have a long time in that line of work. But, I get the comparison. It's like, it's easy to look at the people that have done more than you, but sometimes if you need a self-esteem boost, you look at the people that did less than you, you know, it's not great, but it's cheating a little bit. It's not the best way. It's not the most ethical way to gather up self-esteem, but sometimes you got to look at some peers and be like, at least I'm doing more than that guy.
Oh, man, that's funny.
It's like I said, it's not the healthiest way to boost your own morale, but it's a method. It's a technique. I don't know.
Oh, man. Speaking of which, that kind of – go ahead.
I was going to say, I got a balance trainer for the bike, which is basically just a wheelie practicing machine. It locks the back wheel in, and so you can practice like how far to lean back to get – not pedaling, but manuals, which is just a wheelie without pedaling. So that's my core strength exercise in the garage now when it's raining out.
So it won't, like, you can ride it, and then when you pop a wheelie, it'll only go back so far, keep you from flipping backwards?
Yeah, it's got a little tether on the front wheel, so you can't loop out on it, but it's past the point of where you're still supposed to get out and then find that sweet spot where you balance over the back wheel. It keeps you from tipping over to the to the sides, you know, but then it helps you find, otherwise you got to like ride and find it and you loop out and you wind up chucking the bike in front of you if you're going too fast. And this saves.
Are you good at wheelies?
No, that's why I got the machine. I suck at them. I could do a I could do a pedaling wheelie all right on the mountain bikes, but the manual, that's like core. That's like core balance exercises. So I'm like, all right, I justify, like, because a lot of people are like, those are dumb. Just go ride the bike and practice on the bike. And it's the same idea with the treadmill. Just go run around the neighborhood. Why do you need a treadmill? It's like, well, it's shitty out. And here's a thing that's like, I can focus on this skill in the garage when it's crappy. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
But, dude, I saw a video you posted of some rad little bike park, skate park.
Oh, man.
You're like
Gateway.
That looked cool, man.
Little paved pump track, and I was just out there just looking, like I said, like a weird old man. It was raining out. There was just a couple other people there. Shout out to Jeff. I met a guy, Jeff, who runs a fish taco truck out here and said hi.
Nice.
So I'll be by his place soon enough. But he was over there on a longboard. He's like, yeah, it's too wet out for me today on the longboard. But I was out on the bike. Fell over twice just standing there. It's all right.
Man, that looks fun. I always, like, whenever I see the BMX guys or the skateboard guys or gals in a pool, in the empty pool, that looks so fun. Oh. Just zipping around, hitting those jumps, coming back.
That's one of those, even if you can't do any tricks, just the freedom of carving around, like boogie boarding, man.
Mm-hmm.
Or did you want to speak of your activities next week?
Oh, might
relate,
as well.
To relate to an activity that's just purely pure joy.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, Katie surprised me the other day. We're talking about, I said, look, I brought it up. I said, look, we're probably not going out to eat for Valentine's Day, even though there is outdoor dining. So I just, I don't know. Just, it's too early. I just, not shitting on people who do, like when we went on vacation for our birthday, we ate out a couple times just because there were so few people.
Yeah,
like,
we'll do outdoor
30
stuff.
Tables. And yeah, if there's enough room, I'm not opposed to it, but just the thought of like trying to make a reservation at a restaurant this year for Valentine's, it's like, we're probably not going to do that. I was like, I'll cook you whatever you want. We'll have a nice romantic meal at home. And she goes, actually, and she tricked me. The trick's coming later. But she goes, actually, I got us a weekend in Palm Springs. We're going to just go get a nice hotel and just kick it in Palm Springs. And she's like, I'm probably going to get a massage or a facial one day, and then maybe you could drive, down the road to Joshua Tree, because anybody knows that area, it's like 20 miles away. Mm-hmm. I was like, cool, yeah, that sounds great. And then last night she goes, actually, I lied. We're going to San Diego to go jet skiing. The same thing we did back in August. So, dude, super stoked about that.
I love
3 days
Dave,
in San Diego.
Dave on a jet ski makes me happy.
Oh, love it.
What's your gear? What do you wear? What do you wear on a jet ski?
Oh, I just wear like my basketball shorts and just
the same thing you're wearing right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then, they make you wear the
Dickies pocket
the
life
t-shirt.
Jacket. Basketball shorts.
Yeah, man. Dude, I'm so excited. So, yeah, we're going. It's not going to affect any broadcast or podcast scheduling. We're leaving Thursday, coming back Sunday. Oh, dude, it's going to be great. Very excited. And we're staying at the same place we stayed last time. They have you can rent the jet skis right there from the hotel. So we just walk down, to the dock, boom, get the jet ski, and we're good to go. And it's right there. I don't know if it's called San Diego Bay, but it's the big bay. It's the big inlet there. Just scoot all around that bay. And damn, we had such a blast last time. So. Very excited about that coming up Thursday.
Just doing pure joy, man. Get to let your problems melt away on a jet ski.
Yeah. And it's so weird because I felt the same way back in August when we went. Like, it feels weird to take a vacation during quarantine, like when I haven't done anything. It's not like I'm grinding it out 9 to 5. But at the same time, it's like, you still kind of need one just to. Just for a change of scenery, just to get out of the house.
Yeah, I would not undermine the idea of, like, mental health. Like, just because you're not, I didn't bust my ass 60 hours this week, and that's why I need a vacation. It's like, no, I've been good and stayed in my apartment and socially distanced, and I'm going nutty from that. It's I don't think you need to justify why you want to. Why you need to go jet ski, Dave?
Yeah.
Not to me, anyway. Maybe the listeners see it unfit. Oh, look at Mr. Big Superstar podcast host. Needs a break. I'm walking on his treadmill and eating delicious meats to go jet ski.
I need a break from the grind. Oh, man. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there is some psychological component to it. You know, even though I haven't been working, I haven't been touring, still, you know.
Gotta break up the monotony, man. That's what a vacation is.
Yeah.
There's still monotony in not doing stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm like, I want to start doing shows again. Like, I know it's not, I'm just itching to do comedy is what I'm saying. I'm not going to, like, mm-hmm. break any protocol, yeah. but. Still van shopping for people that have contacted me and offered their opinions on the Ram ProMasters versus the Ford Transits. I do appreciate it. Still looking at it. Still might have a boogie van mm-hmm. coming one of these days.
Oh, dude. That'd be so rad.
Yeah, man. I've been writing some bits here and there. I don't know. This isn't quite a bit. I find myself hesitant to write any bits about food. Because I feel like, all right, I've mm-hmm. done enough of it. There's enough out there. But I did write down the observation about, I just want tips from somebody to show me how to finish a Chipotle burrito without the end not looking like a National Geographic special of like a lioness devouring a wildebeest. Like just me with like tomatillo sauce. And cotija cheese, ear to ear on my face. I'm just typewritering back and forth in the bottom of the foil, trying to get every last bit of corn and what have you that was in there. It starts off so elegant. It starts off like I'm having a burrito. I'll peel it gently, peel the foil. And the end, it's just two palms smashed into my face. Getting every last bit out of there.
Oh, my God. You know what my favorite part of the burrito is? The last bite. That last bite, you got the soggy little tortilla pocket, and there's still a little bit of sour cream or meat in there. Oh, boy. I love just that final bite where you're no longer biting from the burrito. You're taking the remains of it.
You like that. You like the accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's funny you wrote a food bit. I wrote a food bit last night, too. No, not a full-fledged bit, but just a premise. Because I consider myself a home chef. You know, I still feel weird calling myself a chef because there's professional chefs that do this, you know, 40 hours a week. But a lot of home chefs on YouTube, and really all these guys are doing are just combining groceries. And what I mean is, like, the recipes, you never see these guys
roast a
vegetable.
Sounds like cooking to me, man. I don't know.
No, but, like, in a way it is, but, like, I'm talking about some of these recipes I see on YouTube. No one's roasting a vegetable. No one's chopping any herbs. They're just combining groceries. Like, all right, take this 22-ounce bottle of pancake syrup and mix it with one cup of Picante sauce. And it's just you're just combining store-bought sauces and shit. And I think...
What, you want them to stab at the sauce with a knife for a little while? Well, I mean...
No, I'm just saying, you know, how about some technique? Why don't you roast the veggies first? Why don't you use some fresh herbs instead of just dumping a bunch of pre-existing products into a bowl and mixing it up? That annoys me. Although, that's kind of what my barbecue sauce is.
So. I'm a little confused. You want them to, like, tap the tree for the syrup? Like, what...
No, I'm saying like
grind the corn. Know,
No, just roast some veggies and put that in there and puree something. But rather like literally some of these like sauce recipes are just take a bottle of ketchup, take a bottle of syrup and some vinegar and mix it all together. Like, all right, that's not really cooking. You're just combining shit. I don't know why that annoys me as a cook.
I mean, that's...
the little things.
I could see it itching at you as a guy. By the way, you got to stop on the Reddit, man. It's just food. It's only food over there. Once in a while, some awesome. Bigfoot or UFO, and that gets moved to the side real quick. A lot of people whipping up your recipes, man. You should be happy about it. But I don't know. I can't... I just go to the first recipe. I mean, the hack joke there about how everybody's got to write a fucking story before you can get to the recipe, which is just some way of like keeping people on the website to keep ad revenue up. But it is obnoxious.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to see If I like, well, here's a recipe for goulash. I do not want, the first line should not be, when I was a kid, it should be half cup, just some, start there. That's what I want. But
yeah.
I get that exists to keep people on it. But yeah, I just, I don't know where I was going with that. I was like, oh yeah, I kept trying to find, I'm like, oh, whatever, man. Instant Pot. I'm doing the same thing you hate. I'm just combining shit I got around the house. Put it in there. Put it in that magic bucket.
Dude.
That magic explosion bucket. So I hope it comes out tasty.
You know what else I made to go with the wings yesterday, dude? And I'm going to make this for you one day. This is something you can eat. And I talked about it a few weeks ago.
All right.
The broccoli casserole, dude. It may be the best thing I make.
Yeah.
This broccoli casserole.
Broccoli cheese, like, you're it's saying, right?
Broccoli cheese, rice, cat. It's insane. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I could enter a contest, a competitive eating contest with my broccoli. Like I could eat the whole pan.
Okay, I was wondering where you're going. Like, you'd make broccoli. Somebody else eat the whole pan?
No, it's, I mean, good. I would
some
make it.
Would have, like, I could it? Eat.
No, I could eat, like, 10 pounds of this shit. I mean, it's... I know I say that a lot about my stuff, but like it's insane how good this shit is. And it's so easy to make. Well, it's easy. It's time consuming. There's a lot of annoying little steps, but man, it's worth it. And dude, I don't know. I never really thought much about broccoli, rice, casserole and stuff like that. Casseroles in general. I don't know. I think they get a bad rap.
Yeah.
Just because, again, you're just mixing groceries together. But dude. Oh,
that's, you know, you got to get a large family. You got to satisfy. You need something simple. I got no problem with casserole. I will not fight away a casserole. I like broccoli. I like cheese. I like rice. I don't, you give it to me, man.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in one of the books already?
Did you
already tell people the recipe?
No. It'll be in my upcoming. Probably.
Maybe I got to do that one.
Though. Volume 4. Yeah. Yeah. I'll send you the recipe, dude. It's insane, but it's something you could definitely get down on. It's not vegan, but it's definitely vegetarian. There's no meat involved. So, no, I know. I'm saying for the vegan folks, you know, they would have to. It's got sour cream. It's got a little mayo. It's got a bunch of cheese. But, yeah, no meat. But, man, although I've thought about making a meat version, I thought about adding a little crumbled bacon to the mix or some smoked ham, like some hickory smoked ham chunks or something.
That's like a Hot Pocket. Really make it broccoli a little, cheese ham, that's just a Hot Pocket.
Yeah. Oh, but, man. So I never thought I'd get so excited about a casserole, but this stuff is nuts.
I've been overlooking banh mi's. Did we talk about this last time?
No. I like a good banh mi.
Oh, I always, because I would always get pho. If I'm at a Vietnamese place, I'm going to get pho. Cheap, tasty. Had a shrimp banh mi the other night. That's why I was like, yeah, I'm not vegan. Let's eat. Because I don't think shrimp, I don't think fish feel pain. So I'll eat those.
Is there any science to back that up? Because I know, I remember like Kurt Cobain's, that was one of his lyrics. It's okay to eat fish because they don't have feelings. And I've heard that a lot. You know,
that was a Nirvana lyric.
Yeah. I think that's I'm pretty sure that was one of his lyrics. But I mean, seriously, is there any science? How do we know they don't feel any pain?
I don't know. They probably do. I'm just choosing to ignore that for now because I don't want to commit to a vegan lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I am choosing to obscure some facts from my database in order to maintain where I'm at.
Dude, I get it.
I can't do the all or nothing thing with veganism requires.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I love a good banh mi. At first, I was a little hesitant of the concept of carrots in a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, what was it? Carrot, cucumber, cilantro.
It's like a
usually pork.
It's like a carrot and like a jicama, maybe, or like a like a radish.
Uh huh.
You know, you see like a carrot and a white, like it's usually shredded carrots with like a white strip type thing, and I don't know if that's jicama or radish. And then I usually get tofu. I usually get the tofu one or the shrimp one, and then with mayonnaise, but it's on a good French bread. I mean, like $4 or $5 bucks usually. This place we got from was fancier. It was more expensive, but came with a little salad and everything. Look Lock was the name of the place. It's good.
That's weird. First place I ever had a banh mi was a food truck in Portland. That was my first exposure to banh mi sandwiches.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is good.
The food truck still.
They're still going.
Still a lot of food trucks up there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little pot over here in Beaverton that I pop by once in a while. And it's pretty, I mean, it's outdoors, so I think they kind of already had a leg up on things. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, restaurants with dining rooms were really trying to find some compatibility. These were already located outside. It was already a walk up and take your food away. So I think they're doing okay. I hope they're doing okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we were trying to get you into that racket for a while. We thought we were going to have you with a trailer with just a big old... I envisioned you pulling a trailer with, like, you know, like the road pavers where it's like the big bucket of hot oil, but it was just chili. That's how I envisioned just the giant dripping bucket of chili that you're just out ladling. Ladling to people.
Dude, I'm still, you know, I mean, we've talked about this so much, but I mean, both our futures, and at least in terms of stand-up, are still so uncertain that, I mean, if I'm sitting here a year from now and I still haven't done any live stand-up comedy, I might seriously think about a pop-up or something. I don't know if I'm anytime soon going to be ready to invest in an actual truck. You know, I don't have 50 grand to plop down on a truck, but,
yeah.
Man, I could come up with some little pop-up. I mean, hell, I've done that before. I used to do that in L.A. with the biscuits and the wings, but... Yeah, I mean, that's still something I'm not, I haven't put that idea to bed yet. That's something I'm still into. Just got to figure out exactly what I'm going to sell.
I'm telling me, man.
Just a casserole. Just a casserole truck.
Casserole truck?
Man, that may not be a bad idea.
Well,
just have 4 or 5 casseroles.
Casserole. There's some sort of play on words with the rolling part of casserole. I'm not very sharp today, so I'm not, you know, firing off on all cylinders here. But, oh, a casserole truck? Just what a I'd square really like of to casserole?
Do. Yeah, yeah. What I'd really like to do, and I've talked about this before, I don't think it would work in Southern California because of the heat, but, man, a soup and stew truck. Where I have like 5 or 6, yeah, I have my Texas red chili.
I think they have those
Texas chili.
The Salvation Army.
Yeah. I do my Texas chili. I do my chicken chili. I do my chicken tortilla soup. I could do like a clam chowder. Yeah, like 4 or 5 good. Oh, and then gumbo. I could have chicken and sausage gumbo. I could have seafood gumbo. How about 5 or 6? And boom. Yeah, the stew crew. Just, oh, man.
You do. I don't know. I think you do boom. That by the beach. It starts getting chilly in the evening. People want a nice.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get that cold. I don't know. It might be hard too. You're driving a truck with like a lot of hot liquids in it.
Make it a nighttime thing. Yeah.
Hot,
no one wants to eat chili when the sun's beating down on them. But like at night, yeah, it does get cool. It got 39 degrees here the other night. That's cold as shit for California, yeah. Southern California. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have enough years to do everything I want to do. I want to open a record store. I want to open a food truck.
I mean, the record store restaurant thing, I'm sure, is a combo already.
Mm-hmm.
People are already doing little cafes and bookstores, little cafes and record stores. Bar/record
I thought about
record
having
store.
Like a,
there's a place over in
yeah.
Glendale, or what's that area? Not El Sereno. That I did a show at. It was like a record store bar type place.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's cool. It's off San Fernando.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, just above Atwater Village.
Yeah, kind of over that way by the river.
Mm-hmm. I knew that was a – I didn't know it was a record store. I know what bar you're talking about, mm-hmm. but I'm sure someone's already done this, but that would be ideal. As much as I love food and food trucks, if I could pick one or the other, it would definitely be a record store just because it's a lot less labor intensive. But record store/bar called Vinyl Tap.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's already done that. And I'm not a fan of puns, but that's a good one.
I mean, I get it. I don't know how.
I get it.
Well, I don't know how record stores stay open.
What do you mean?
It just seems like such a niche market. Like, I used to, this sounds mean. I used to delight when I saw horribly hip businesses go under right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it was like...
Like grilled cheese shop.
Yeah, when it was like just only cupcakes, fucking no.
Uh-huh.
Like, and people
dude,
like...
vinyl's big, man.
I know it. Vinyl's big. It's just a case of me not being on the inside track, which I am that way
mm-hmm.
with many things. So that's me not understanding it, not me criticizing it, but... I just, every time I was like, oh, record store's going out of business, I'm always like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I've thought about that. Like, any business that's not, and I don't mean essential, like, in turn the context of, like, COVID reopen stuff, but just, you know, people, there will always be a need for restaurants and bars yeah. and grocery stores, you know, but, like, jewelry stores, record stores, you know, that those aren't essential items that people need, but... At the same time, at least with record stores, it's like, it's, I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say, but like, there's a demand for people, especially now that you can't go to movie theaters and stuff. But I yeah. think there's, I think record stores have even increased since COVID just because people need some sort of entertainment release. You know, I'm going to go pick out this thing and bring it home, listen to it.
Something
I don't know.
To do at home. Something to enjoy in the house.
Yeah. Just, yeah, and as much as, like I just said, like, you know, bars and restaurants are vital, I think about this all the time, as much as I get takeout and as much as we used to go out to eat. But, like, you know, $20 record, I can enjoy it for the rest of my life, theoretically.
Yeah.
A $20 pizza is going to be gone tomorrow. So I justify buying records and stuff that way. Like, this is something that's... not gonna
should
be
I
going
buy records or pizzas keep. With this $20? Well, one you can enjoy forever, except unless you don't eat, because then you'll die. So you still kind of need. I don't know if the comparison works. I get it though. No, it is more of a sense of like, I don't have that passion for that particular thing. So to see it as a whole brick and mortar uh-huh. business, I'm like, wow, bold move. That is a risky mm-hmm. thing to do with your parents' money, because I can't imagine anybody earned their own money and then still decided to do that as a business. Anytime I see something like, it's a cupcake store, like, ooh, mommy and daddy are just throwing money at any of your whims, aren't they? Because yeah. nobody, like, I can't imagine anybody busted their ass at a job they hated, only go like, finally, I'm going to open up just cupcakes. Like, and I don't know why I'm picking out cupcakes. People like cupcakes. I get mm-hmm. again, mm-hmm. I'm probably totally wrong. More people probably like cupcakes than I realize, and it could be a thriving business.
Yeah. I mean, how's it different than like an ice cream shop, you know?
Both. Yeah.
You know, that's a business that's been around for centuries.
That's true. See, these are the things I'm not thinking of.
Mm-hmm. And, like, with music, I was thinking about that. Like, even though you're not into records, like, and not everybody who enjoys music is going to be into vinyl, but, like, music is fairly universal. Like, you ever met someone who's like, nah, I don't like music? Like, boy, I bet you're a fun hang. I've met people that say, I don't listen to music. I don't understand that.
I know that, like, age where people have just grown, like they have the one channel on the radio they don't pay attention to. Like it doesn't take up, mm-hmm. it doesn't occupy any real estate in their day, but I don't think anybody actively dislikes. I don't know anybody that actively dislikes music. I think they just grew, it was not a passion early on and they grew away from it.
Mm-hmm. That's still hard for me to comprehend. Like I just assume everybody's got some type of music that they like to listen to. But yeah, I mean, you're right. There are people that just, yeah, I mean, you're right. I doubt anybody's like, I actively dislike music. I doubt there's many people like that. But like you said, people that just don't think about it. It's not a part of their life. That still blows my mind. Not that everybody's got to sit around and listen to records all day, but like just music, like in the car or somewhere. No, you don't have any desire to like find that new band that you like or find that old band that you used to like. Like that blows my mind.
Records across the wall in my basement growing up. They were all my dad's records. And that guy, Never listened to music once. I don't remember him
really
in the car ever listening to music. But I think I bet about a lot of people now, when you realize, like, oh, you know, your parents just got old and listen to talk radio. Really, how often do you just sit there and listen to a podcast now instead of music? You know, that
yeah.
we're like,
yeah,
like it's. That's one of those weird moments when you realize, like, oh, I'm old. I'm an old person. Like, I get it. I mean, it's in my face now when I kind of say something. If I'm going to the skate park, I'm like, hey, you guys mind if an old weirdo rides around for a little bit? To, like, at least acknowledge that, like, yeah, I know I have, you know, 6 inches of a white beard coming out from under my mask. Like, all right, yeah, I know. I look like a fucking psycho. I'm aware of it. I'm just going to go cruise around. I hope it's cool. And 100% of the time, everybody's been cool. It's been nobody.
Yeah.
But to realize for a minute, like, oh, yeah, this is like, what was I trying to think about? I think about the other day, like, I'm not like a youth freak. Like, oh, everything has to be young and new. And but I don't think, like, there's a midlife crisis. I think it's like, oh, people are just doing stuff they always wanted to do, and maybe they finally got to the point where they had money or free time to do it.
Yeah.
At middle age. Mm-hmm. Like, I am going to go back to this thing that made me happy 25 years ago.
Sure.
Because I don't have hang-ups, or I raised my kids, or I look at how much happiness I missed from, the, like, graduating college to being 40. Because I was focused on this idea of adulthood and having a house and having these things that, oh, there's a successful adult. Look at that guy. It's like, oh, wow, I did all that. And it's great. It's there. I'm not happy. Or they are happy, but now they have time to go, like, I'm going to ride a bike. I see more and more people that are just old getting BMX bikes. Like, I don't give a shit. I just want to go cruise around on it. It's fun.
That's awesome.
You know?
That's great.
Or skateboards, or anything for that matter. Batting cages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to golf. How do you think about that? What's your take on golf?
Man, I used to always put it down back when I was youthful and athletic. You know, it's like, I'm going to go play basketball. I'm going to go play baseball. Who needs to golf? But I get it. Like, in this moment, I don't have much of a desire because it's still, there is kind of a yuppie subculture to it, but yeah. I get it. It's outdoors. It's beautiful. You know, who doesn't like to just, I think that's an old Seinfeld joke. People just want to be outdoors in a well-landscaped area. Like, I get that. Walk around, beautiful grass, beautiful landscaping. You know, and the physical act of golf, I get how that's fun. Like, Billy Wayne Davis and I used to go to the driving range a lot. That's a lot of fun, even though I don't know anything about the game of golf. I've literally played one game of golf my whole life. But many times I've gone to the driving range and just let it rip. Like, just hitting a ball with a club. Like, there's something primal about that. I get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I always thought it was like some excuse. You think of country clubs and this or that, but like so many people go to public courses where it is. It's like the fee's minimal. Everybody's, you know, anybody can go play on a public course. So I think the gate's lower than we both realize. I just don't want to play because I don't like the idea of being so bad. This is why I always avoided team sports. I don't want my shittiness to affect someone else's good time. That's why, like, skateboards and bikes, I'm like, oh, I could just go be bad at this by myself. But if you're on a team and you're the weakest link, and especially when your first exposure to being on teams is school sports, where everybody's already, like, all right, I'm already in gym class, so this is basically the general population yard of the high school. It's not the classes with my friends in it. It's where, oh, cool, this is where me and my dork buddies get to mix with the behavioral disorder kids in an unsupervised arena of a soccer field or what have you.
Yeah.
And if you were bad, it was known.
Yeah, I get that. I never experienced that because I was a pretty good athlete.
No, you're a real sport. You're a real sport fella.
No, but I did feel, even when I was a kid or a teenager, I used to empathize, you know, for like, because like voluntary sports, you know, like if you try out for the baseball team or the basketball team, but like to just like PE, to just cram physical sports down some guy's throat who has no interest in it. I did used to feel bad for like the guys that were just like, I fucking hate this. I'm only here because it's a requirement. Mm-hmm. It'd be the equivalent of like, well, I guess that's kind of what school is. You do take a bunch of classes you have no interest in most of the time. But yeah, I get that. I mean, golf, the only reason I don't golf now is I don't want to wear a visor or a stupid polo shirt. If I could find a public course that didn't have any dress requirements.
What do you think? Do you think there's a dress code for golf?
I mean, I know some of them, like at country clubs, there's dress code.
Dad, we're not getting into country clubs.
Tank top.
Dave. I'm talking about public course.
But yeah, with public course, I'm assuming that there's not, but just.
CJ and Fairbanks go all the time. They got a little crew that goes golfing.
Oh, yeah?
They've been going all the time, yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw Fairbanks post something the other day about golf.
Yeah, they're out at the public courses just going for it a couple times a week, I think. Oh, you get out, you're out there with your buddies, you're drinking beer, you could operate a motor vehicle after a few drinks, which is illegal on a roadway, but encouraged on a golf course.
Yeah, no, I get it, man. That's, I mean, and eventually that's probably something I'll, some recreation I'll take up, but right now, just, I don't know.
Boogie Monster Celebrity Golf Tournament, you know?
I'll turn into a golf guy. Start wearing polo shirts.
You don't have to wear a polo shirt. You can wear the same. You can wear what you're wearing now. Your jet ski outfit can be your golf outfit, Dave.
Oh, man.
Guaranteed.
Hey, I want to talk to you about this real quick.
I lost old Dave.
We may not get to our topic today.
Dave touched his headphones.
But, I read an article. I've heard this. The last few weeks, this seems to be popping up in the news. The controversy over the term unskilled labor. Oh, there you are. Did I hang up on you?
You did.
Oh, okay. Sure,
it's at 46 minutes if we want to.
Nah.
If you want to edit.
Screw it.
All right. I made some. Nah, I made some banal chit chat. well, let's. Got any things going on this week?
Well, no, I was gonna bring this up. I want to talk about this real quick. This isn't necessarily the topic for today. We may or may not get to the topic. We probably may not get to the topic. But I want to get your opinion on. I read an article yesterday, and I've seen this term pop up a lot in the news, not news, but just Twitter and stuff recently. The term unskilled labor.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that are trying to kind of abolish that term, just from our lexicon, as far as they say it's insulting, unskilled. And look, I feel like I'm as liberal and progressive as the next guy, but just this movement to kind of make everything across the board equal, and that came out wrong. I'm for equality. I'm totally, but do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, just that, like, well, it's the same thing. Like, and we've talked about this for like unhoused people. Like homeless people versus that's a new term. And I said this on the Stonebergs. If a homeless person or an unhoused person comes up and says, hey, man, could you please stop using that? That's fine. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of this is coming. And I feel like this unskilled labor argument is coming from people that probably aren't making minimum wage outdoors, you know, getting their hands dirty. Just this desire to make everything. And again, I don't know how to say it without.
It's a little condescending. Like, is it coming from the people who are doing the unskilled labor saying, I don't like this being said? Or is it somebody else going, I know what's going to make things better for the less fortunate, which is a condescending attitude. I don't know where we're seeing this being brought up or what the context is, so I can't say which
it's,
I think it's a silly
I think.
Term.
Yeah, I read an article about it, and I've seen it pop up on Twitter a lot lately. And just the article I read yesterday just talked about how it's insulting. And this article was like, it's also inaccurate because – and here's the thing. I'm for the working class. Hell, I am – or definitely was the working class. And I'm all for the whole raise the minimum wage thing.
Yes.
But I'm sorry. You go to a construction site And the guy installing the electrical, he went and got either some experience or some training in how to do that. That is not unskilled, because you can't just go grab any schmuck off the street and expect that they can do that job. Whereas certain jobs on a construction site, or any, pick any industry or field, are, for lack of a better term, unskilled.
Yeah.
And, you know, name it whatever you want. If you got a problem with the actual name unskilled, fine. But let's not pretend that there's not a difference between the person who went out, and we talked about this in the past. Like, I understand not everybody has the same opportunity. I understand not everybody comes from the same background. But at some point in your life in America, you're probably going to have some opportunity to better yourself in terms of education or training or experience. But to just pretend that the guy who went to 3 years of electrical school and now is doing some really complex wiring on a building, to pretend that he's the same as the guy who's emptying the trash can, like, that's insulting to the guy or the gal who went out and got some training and expertise in a particular area.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where...
And that's not to say, here's the thing, unskilled labor doesn't mean unnecessary or shameful. Like, I totally agree, every job's important in our society. But, for example, like, all right, my dad used to run a firewood business, and I used to help him. And no matter how proud we were of that business, loading a truck full of firewood is unskilled labor. Hey, you see that pile of wood? Pick it up piece by piece and throw it on that flatbed truck. There's no skill or training or knowledge involved in that. It's still a very hard job, and it's still a job that is needed. But that is unskilled labor, however you want to slice it, as opposed to the person. And I keep using construction because usually labor is associated with construction field and stuff. But any job, well, you know, pick an industry, the entry level versus someone who's got 20 years of training and experience and education.
Okay, I see where there's a Business Insider article where somebody said it was an AOC quote about, you know, I don't know if somebody was trying to dismiss her as a waitress or bartender, saying it's unskilled labor or waiting tables, and that's not you know, this is like saying, like, yeah, oh, the calling it a low skilled job. Now, I wouldn't say that. I don't agree with calling waiting tables or bartending a low skilled job at all. So that's, I think it's where are people using it? You know, if you're using it to describe bartending or serving tables, you're incorrect. I mean, bartending, quick. Know how to make all these drinks, have a crowded bar, have a bunch of people that need your attention, and you have to appease all of them. So that's people skills, time management, memorization, assembly. That's not a low skill. Or serving, like, cool, look at everybody, get everything right, figure that out, get that in and know who gets what when. That's not unskilled. I did jobs where it was like, you see that stuff there, pick it up, move it over there. That's unskilled. That me having legs and arms and the physical capability to move a thing from one place to another isn't a skill. Do temp work. That's unskilled labor, because it's just, we need a human person here. We need five human beings to move this shit from here to there. There's no skill. That's why you're doing temp work.
Yeah.
So I think with this context of... like, yeah, we shouldn't call a lot of things unskilled, but there are some things that are unskilled out there. There are some. Yeah,
I mean, that's my point. Like, if you got a problem with the name it something else, but stop pretending that there's not a difference between the entry level as opposed to someone who went out and got some expertise in a particular thing.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. And, you know, I used to be a big fan, and I still agree with most of their politics and stuff. But this is before I moved out here. But there was like a a janitor strike, custodian strike in L.A. like 15, 20 years ago. And I saw him on the news, and he said what I think is probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard had said. He said, why are the people emptying the trash cans? Why do they make less than the people who dirty up the trash cans in these office buildings? And again, I'm for the working class. Hey, janitors are, even if I want to call them unskilled, they're not unnecessary, and they shouldn't be shamed for that. But come on, man. The guy emptying the trash can, he's doing that because the other people in these office buildings, in these white-collar contexts, they went out and got some training and expertise in a thing. So they probably deserve a little more monetarily than the janitor. I'm sorry. That doesn't – I don't think that's being insensitive. And it's not saying, hey, fuck you for being a janitor. But, like, I'm sorry. If you want to be a janitor, that's fine. That's your thing. But don't wonder why – the radiologist is making more money than you.
Radiologist, sure, but somebody that's just white and speaks English can bullshit their way into some positions in an office just okay, based on that. And the willingness to touch people's trash, you want to talk about why minimum wage jobs like should be at least $15. I think it might not be a skill, but a willingness to do jobs other people don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So true. Your willingness to work. That was the biggest thing I got. I got with the comedian we know, but was angry at me because I didn't understand the app based economy. So I didn't understand how difficult it was to try and make a living driving DoorDash and Uber and put it all together. And I was like, I have no idea, because I printed out resumes saying I've cleaned toilets here, I'll clean toilets in this building. And I went into physical buildings saying, I will do what you want. That's my skill, is a willingness to do whatever you want for money. So that's where I was like, I'm sorry I didn't try to make a living by being able to smoke cigarettes in my car. Like, no, man, I clean gas station toilets, man. And I was fine once. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once in a while, you're like, fuck me. How did you even do this to this small room? Like, did you just stand on your head? Like, oh, I got diarrhea. I better do a tripod.
Office
buildings are filled with just as unskilled people who manage to bullshit their way into, instead of moving bags of concrete, or moving papers or answering emails. So,
of course, and maybe that was a bad analogy, but just the principle of entry level versus someone who's got some expertise. I'm sorry, but
yeah,
like the expertise deserves a little bit more.
I get that.
I know that makes me sound like a Republican, but...
No, there is... Yes, certain jobs deserve more than others. But it's knowing the value in everybody's job. Knowing the value in the guy, like, all right, this... I guess... I don't know how I'm trying to say it. Like...
And again, I'll say it again, just so anybody... Do not mistake what I'm saying here. I'm not saying these jobs are unnecessary, and I'm not saying these people should be shamed. I'm just saying they shouldn't be sitting around with their hand out wanting the exact same pay as someone who spent years acquiring a particular skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. I think that, the term's real, unskilled. There's a lot of unskilled labor out there. I got to see the context of where you were seeing it brought up and who was mad about it. That's the thing I need to know.
Yeah.
Who was upset about it? Somebody whose whole presence is fighting the system, and they had a slow day, so they had to pick on this subject matter. But this is what I found looking up, like, what kind of criticisms of the term was AOC, because people were calling her out for being a waitress and a bartender. And that's a weak argument because you vote for somebody who represents somebody similar to your interests. Well, that's perfect then. I got no beef.
As opposed to
like AOC.
as opposed to the trust fund kid who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Or just in,
you know, yeah, I definitely relate to someone who has had those. And by the way, like, yeah, any show me someone who has waited tables or tended bar or washed dishes, and I, you know, that is a great experience for someone to have. People in the South, people make fun of Waffle House all the time. Oh, you better stay in school. You become a Waffle House waitress or Waffle House cook. Man, I'll take a Waffle House. If I had a business, I would definitely hire a Waffle House waitress or cook over just some schmuck. Like, that's, yeah, they might get paid similar to an unskilled labor. But yeah, that is, yeah, that's not something you got to go to school for. But yeah, that's, do that job for 2 years and then tell me that you don't have a special skill in terms of working under pressure and dealing with the general public. Like, yeah, I totally agree that those, I'm rambling now, but yeah, the whole AOC thing, like, I can't believe someone would try to spin that like a negative, like, oh, she used to be a bartender. How's that a negative?
There's going to be an angle for anybody who wants to, if you got to be the uber woke representative, you'll pick apart. I know people that's like, they're going to pick apart anything through that lens, even if it doesn't need it. So somebody going after this is like, this article is written from a standpoint of somebody like, I was using this term and maybe I shouldn't use it anymore. But they were using it wrong. They were using it to describe stuff that is still skilled.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call somebody working at a fast food place unskilled labor. If you took somebody off the street who never worked at a McDonald's and put them in there and said, do this, they wouldn't know how. Ergo, they need to learn a skill. Yeah, but
how long would it take them to learn? I mean, I don't know
because I've never been in there. But true. Hey,
I never worked at McDonald's.
Work front of house in a college town at when the bar's let out and your business is open serving food.
Yeah.
Forget what you think of as a skill. Deal with that. Deal with drunk college kids ordering food from you. It's not a skill you get from a book, but that's a skill. I would never. I was talking to Shane Torres about this. Man, a true soldier, a true warrior was the kid who got a job at a fast food place in the same town he went to high school in. I could not imagine. That is bravery. Knowing you might see the same asshole that you have to see during a day, then you got to see him at night at work, and then there's a power dynamic change because you're just working to register, and they're going to be in there being an asshole. Man, I remember seeing a dude that would work at McDonald's that like kind of got picked on in high school, and then I'm like, that is bravery. That's why I always worked in where. That's why I was always the guy like, I can move that stuff from one place to another place. As long as I don't have to see anybody from high school or anybody at all, give me that job.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I used to, when I was 22, I worked. My resume is so. I was 22 or 23, and there was a 6-month period where I was waiting tables at Applebee's in the town I grew up in. And boy, I felt some of that. Maybe even worse than the high school thing because I was 23. I'd run into people all the time, and boy, so many people used to just look down their nose at me. And I wanted to have on my name tag, this is just a part-time gig. I'm working on other things.
Dude, like, try.
But yeah, I had so many people look down their nose at me like, oh, things must not be going well. No, I'm doing what I got to do right now to scrape
try
by.
Try being in your 20s and delivering pizza high out of your mind to your high school guidance counselor. Because I did that one.
Really?
Shout out to Mrs. Butzarellis. She was fantastic. She was my art teacher in grade school. She moved on to being a guidance counselor. I could tell that there was definitely a level of like, oh, so you're doing this. You know, somebody whose whole job was to try and encourage your potential, and then 5 years later, you're schlepping pizza to her house in the hometown you grew up in. So,
I'm sure she's since seen you on television.
Oh, not that, yeah, so not that Ms. Boots is listening to this, but it worked out. She was always a cool one. So, well, I saw a couple videos of a UFO. Don't know if it was real. There was one. I'm trying to come up with something to make this a Boogie Monster episode. But I realized that I have low energy today, so I apologize.
That's all right, buddy. No, and I got a good topic locked and loaded here. But as usual, we got a little long winded. But yeah, that YouTube video or that UFO video. Do you have any details on that?
No, I just saw it was like somebody. It was like a Chicago musician, which makes me very curious of who it was.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's like a real dumb Jetson sound effect in the video.
Oh, really? I didn't hear the sound.
Like a digital fart sound of it flying away.
That's suspicious. That's suspicious. Because I feel like knowing.
But I don't even know if that's part of the video. Nothing. I don't even know if it's supposed to be part of the UFO or not. But it was people looking out the window. They see it zip up, zip right underneath the plane. They're looking at it.
It looked good.
Somebody out there, what little I've read, somebody's like, yeah, this person, even though they're a musician, they're not known for doing this kind of thing. So it's just, again, it's very convenient that it looked good. It was a good looking video. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know anything about CGI and stuff. I did read some of those comments are like, well, really good CGI artists couldn't replicate that. But who knows?
I don't know. We'll look at
it. It was a good one, though. Maybe it looked good.
We'll have more of a Boogie Monster episode next week after you're all jet skied out.
Hey, real quick, I want to give a shout out to Boogie Monster listener Jacob Rivas, who's also a patron. We talked about this on the Patreon a couple months ago. By the way, $4 a month, patreon.com/boogiemonster. Jacob Rivas got a couple of Boogie Monster tattoos. Did them himself.
I was going to say, Jacob Rivas did a couple Boogie Monster tattoos on his own body.
Let me pull these up. What did he get? He got two, and they were script. I was hoping he'd get like a cool, like an alien illustration or something. But let's see. What did he have done here? On one of them, maybe the funniest thing. The hardest I've ever laughed on this podcast, which, oh, by the way, that's, that'd be 5 years ago, 5 years, 4 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. At the very end of an episode, I said, holy shit, this comes out on Valentine's Day. And you go, well, fucking sexy, sexy, fuck, fuck.
Yep.
That crushed me. So he got sexy, sexy, fuck, fuck written on what looks like his left thigh.
Bless your heart.
And then maybe, I can't tell if that's his left. Yeah, that looks like his left. And I guess on the same thigh, he got speaking of witches. So, yeah, speaking of witches and, well, fucking sexy, sexy fuck.
So if you thought you were some sort of fan, you're not anymore because Jacob is. Jacob's a true fan.
Thanks, Jacob.
Listen, unless you brand yourself sex cult style, Nixium style, and loyalty to the Boogie Monster, we don't have time for you. That's really what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Dude, these smoked wings yesterday, I made half traditional. I made half jerk. I'm obsessed with jerk anything. The jerk seasoning. I've never made my own. That's something I got to do, but man.
Jamaican style.
Jamaican jerk. I there's probably a little cinnamon in there. There's probably a little clove, maybe a little allspice. Dude, whatever they're doing with that jerk seasoning.
Where are you sending a smoker up? Out in the back in the parking lot or out front on the sidewalk getting people excited?
No, I got a little spot in the back. Okay. We got like a little, it's I don't know how to describe it, just a little parking area, concrete slab. But yeah, I just set it up out there. And boy, these, I put the rub on the night before, let them get all kind of a dry marinade thing going on there.
Okay.
Get all those spices just embedded deep into the chicken. Oh boy. But the traditional ones, the rub I normally use, my normal poultry rub, real solid, but man, this jerk. That jerk, man. Jerk smoked wings. Get out of town. Oh boy.
I thought I was getting close. I'm like, I might break and have some sort of like a steak or something. I miss just making a thing in a cast iron skillet.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something about vegetable just doesn't match like seeing the sizzle and the smell, you know?
Yeah.
You just don't get that with like a sweet potato.
Yeah, I get it. Man, my hat's off to you, dude. It's, I don't know how you do it. Like, I respect anybody who's trying to go veg or vegan because, like, meat's just so fucking good. And I get the ethical thing. I'm glad there are people like you who choose not to do it for the greater good of the animal kingdom and our environment.
No kids, and I'm not eating meat. So you're welcome, everybody else in society. Yeah. I'm basically like Jesus. Man. I'm sacrificing for the good of the larger population. So you're welcome, everybody.
Mm.
Well, I got to fill out my bachelor bracket.
How's that going?
I'm losing my ass.
Yeah? What?
$10.
Where I'm
pissing money away on this bachelor bracket. I bought AMC stock too late. I was trying to get the Dogecoin in there, but I couldn't get the service set up in time.
Is that how you pronounce that? I've been seeing that.
It's like a meme. Yeah, it was a meme, and people just made it as a joke. Like, all right, here's cryptocurrency. This one, I kind of had an idea how the AMC and the GameStop stuff was working. Cryptocurrency?
Do you know anything about crypto?
No, are you talking to me? That's what I just said. I don't know what... That's what I just
said. Well, no, you didn't.
I said, I don't know. I knew kind of about the stocks, but cryptocurrency.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was hoping you could educate me. I don't know. I don't. I've had friends try to explain it. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's...
It's just a different form of currency, obviously. But then I don't understand, like, unless everybody is willing to accept that as a form of payment, then
some people do.
Does it have any value?
Everybody can go off on how I'm incorrect. But this is what I think it is. This is why I only feel safe explaining things to you, Dave, because I know I'm not getting it, and I know you're not going to do anything dangerous with the misinformation. I hope you're not offended by that, but I know that I'm not going to explain Bitcoin, and the next thing you know, I'm going to turn around and you'll be like, I bought a bunch of Bitcoin. I don't think neither one of us are at risk of that, but it's entirely digital. It's not a physical entity. It's like, it's basically like an answer to a coding issue, like you see, like, oh, this computer's got to figure out a code, and you see it doing the Matrix shit with all the digits and, you know, stuff going up on the screen to basically crack a code. And so if you have a computer that can crack this code, that's a bit, you get a Bitcoin. You crack the code for one Bitcoin, say that.
Okay.
So that's why, like, these server farms, these computers that are just working, like, are causing power outages in countries where they're just mining these coins. Now, I'm not sure who puts the coins out there or how many, or who decides how many are in circulation to determine its value, to determine its rarity, you know? Uh-huh. It's not backed by any gold standard. Its only thing is people's desire to digitally mine for these coins.
Huh.
So, like, you know, like regular mining, like, who's willing to go through the trouble of digging through the earth looking for this rare item?
I didn't know that that was a part of it, of cracking the code.
Yeah. But I don't know who's in charge of putting them out there. That's the part I don't get. Who says, oh, I've hidden something and it's going to be valuable? That's the part where
is there any
I get
regulation
lost.
To it? Like, is there any?
Not really, which is why it's such a volatile, like, Bitcoin. My buddy bought them when they were like 37 cents.
Huh.
And then sold them when they were like a couple $100.
Oh, geez.
Now their one Bitcoin is worth $37,000.
No.
Yes.
One Bitcoin is worth 37 grand?
Yeah.
And how long ago did he buy them for the pennies?
10 years ago or something.
Damn.
But you can buy fractions of one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just don't understand how the value is determined. It's just people's pure desire to have it, like a stock. People's pure desire, like what they did to GameStop, kind of. Let's all decide we want this. Even though we don't, if we all decide we want it, it'll drive the price up, and it's going to fuck these people over who need to buy it and now have to pay exorbitant amounts to get it from us because we bought it. But yeah, that one escapes. Dave, I'm sure you relate. When there's just things where you look at like, I'm not going to get this.
Yeah.
This one, I'm going to let this one go. I think that's a sign of wisdom, but not intelligence. Intelligence will be like, I could figure out everything. I think wisdom is going, I'm not going to get that one. No use in stripping out these gears.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a form of intelligence is knowing your limitations.
I'm going to do sit here and get frustrated over that. Nah, I'm going to go look at this video of a cat falling off a coffee table.
Just smart enough to know I don't know shit.
Yep. Which is why I'm going to lose $10 on this Bachelor Fantasy League.
You sit and watch every episode of that?
We kind of, we put it on. It's not like we're watching it intently. Rachel fast forwards through a lot. It's like 3 hours long, and there's maybe 20 minutes of substance in it, and everything is coming up next. And then it's a 10-minute segment, a commercial, and then what just happened was, and then 10 minutes to get to the coming up next stuff they just previewed. But, I'm not doing well on this. I'm losing $10 here. I'm losing however much on AMC. So, all right, man, I got 20 minutes to get these in. Not like I'm thinking on it hard. I just look at the pictures and pick which ones I like.
I get it.
Oh, that girl. These.
All right, buddy.
Well.
Anything to plug?
Nah, man.
How's Hey Girl coming? Y'all still doing that?
That's still been on pause. I guess Bronger was an old Super Bowl commercial.
I saw him Super Bowl. I think commercial. That's why that's Scott's lawn.
I was supposed to get in touch with him last week, but I think he was shooting that thing all week.
Oh yeah,
I don't know how long it takes to shoot a commercial, it'll show up. It'll that's show cool. up eventually, one day. Otherwise, I don't know. I'm going to be on Twitch. I'm going to start doing Twitch stuff more. I think old Mikey Carrazza is going to walk me through Red Dead Redemption, because I thought that game was boring as shit, so he's going to be all cherubic and walk me through it and explain why it's a fun game to me. And actually, I think today, Tuesday, I should be playing on Twitch. I think I'm playing this game called Rust with my buddy Sandeep, and I think Paul Scheer might be playing with us. He's got a little gang of celebs that play, so I might be on that.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm trying to do more Twitch stuff, and you know, if you see me around Beaverton or Portland, you know, say hi.
Hell yeah, man. How's that new BMX bike coming?
It's good, man. Was that last time I was out was in the rain on that pump track the other day.
Was that the one you were riding on that video?
Yeah. I just took the BMX over there.
Right on.
That's good, man. How's the treadmill? You move up to running yet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I'm out of control. I'm going to run a marathon before too long.
I can feel it.
Just kidding.
I can feel it, man.
No, I can't. Nah, it's going good, man. Just I'm withering away to nothing.
I know, man. I don't know if I can handle a skinny Dave. No offense to you.
Nah, I think we got a ways before that's a concern.
The bald, I gotta grow my hair out now. We can't both be bald with beards, man. Like I said, man, look too much like some Oath Keepers or some shit. One of us has to look
That's true.
One of us has to look just fun and crazy.
Yeah.
So I'll do that.
No, I got the mohawk. I'm not completely skinheaded now. I got a dumb little mohawk going.
Oh, yeah, it's a safer look.
Look like an 80s professional wrestler. But I'm all right. I'm having fun. Stoneberg's every Wednesday. me and Katie, my wonderful fiance, Katie. That's every Wednesday. Cameo. I'm still on Cameo. That's exciting.
You've been doing those?
Yeah, I've been churning them out, man. Churning them out.
Really? So that's good, man. That
blows
awesome.
My mind that people would pay money to get a personalized message from me. But yeah, it's there you go. And cookbooks still available. Still moving some cookbooks. You can buy those cookbooks at dumbdavestone.com. So yeah, man, need all that supplemental income I can get these days. So speaking of unskilled, so, yeah.
Well, all right, man.
All right, buddy. Good catching up.
Yeah, we'll get into the spaceships next week. You got to go jet ski. Maybe you'll see some out there off the coast of the coast of San Diego. On a jet ski getting abducted.
Oh, God, that would be awesome.
Great way to explain that you just tried to steal a jet ski. And just you swimming back to the dock. Like, they sucked me up, man. They kept the ski, though. How did they drop me about 30 yards back into the water? But they kept the ski on the craft.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited. So, yeah, I'll be back next week all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for my dumb little Valentine's vacation. So that should be fun.
I'm excited for you, man. Take some pictures. Take some video.
Oh, yeah, I will, man. Speaking of rad, I'm going to get rad, dude.
Get yourself you get a GoPro?
No, I don't. I should get one, though. Strap it on a little helmet, you know, get the little head strap.
GoPro, yeah, or get like a little waterproof case for your phone and like a little tether so you don't lose it and get out there and get some fun footage.
Yeah, I'll get something going. So yeah, I'll have some evidence of my good time. So that'll be fun.
Hell yeah, buddy.
All right, bud. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, bud.
You too, man. Enjoy them jet skiing. I'm jealous.
The Boogie Monster.
Network.